When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Another episode of hashtag Saints Twitter podcast coming at you. This is the Saints Twitter recap of the 2021 NFL draft that the Saints had. This is after our video clip from our live stream of our natural reaction of the Saints first round pick of Peyton Turner. Edge from Houston went viral a little bit. The Saints finished off their draft class. I have been kind of on a rampage on Twitter, just kind of with my displeasure with the draft class. But I'm going to acquiesce and just start with you. So I'll list off the sort. So first round pick, they stayed pat. They didn't trade up. They drafted Peyton Turner, Edge, Houston. Round two, they take Pete Warner, linebacker, Ohio State. I really think they're going to take Dwayne Eskridge, but the Seahawks fucked that up a couple of picks before. And then Terrace Marshall Jr. was taken a pick right before them by the Panthers. In round three, they go Paulson Adebo, cornerback Stanford, which is the first player that the Saints, well, I guess for any team in this year, but they did draft a player who did opt out a season, which was interesting in itself. I gotta pull up. I know they drafted Landon Turner from Kentucky. Oh, Ian Book was in the fourth round, quarterback Notre Dame. Landon Turner, Landon Young. I don't fucking know. I should have Landon Young, tackle guard from Kentucky, and then they finish it out with Kwon Baker, wide receiver, Southern Alabama, in the seventh round. What do you think, man?
I'm trying to think of how I felt after this draft and compared it to how I felt in the past drafts, and it kind of reminds me of the kind of like the 2000. I can't even really say the 2018 draft. I almost said the 2014 draft, but at least I was. But at least with that draft, it was like we took Brandon Cooks.
Yes.
And it was like, I was kind of excited about that, but it was like the rest of it was trash. So I can't even say that. I say it's more like the 2010 draft took P-Rob. We got Jimmy Graham. That was good, but it was like, you know, who's this guy? He's a college basketball player. You know, I just came away feeling like that, like just kind of like, eh. And in 2010, I really didn't care because I was still basking in the Super Bowl.
Right, bro. They could have drafted whoever they want.
I was like, who gives a fuck? We bought the two-peat. What you talking about? I didn't worry about no draft.
A draft? All I remember from the 2010 draft is I wanted the Saints, and this is why I told myself, like, I'm not going to fucking watch anybody next year. I wanted them to draft. Oh, fuck, he plays for the Bills now. He used to play for the Colts.
Oh,
Jerry Hughes.
Jerry Hughes.
He's
still balling for the Bills, bro.
Still in the league, bro. And I'm pretty sure the Saints were 100% going to draft him.
I think that came out. That was 100% going to draft him.
And then the Colts. I'll take the Super Bowl, though. I'll take the Super Bowl. So they could have Jerry Hughes. And then they – got traded to the Bills, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. He got traded to the Bills
because he wasn't good with the Colts. He wasn't good. They didn't know how to play him. They didn't know where to play him.
Right. So with this draft, I felt a lot like I felt after the 2018 draft, right? Mm-hmm. When they traded, you know, the world got drafted, got up in the draft, got two firsts. I've learned with the draft when watching players that, and I think I did this a lot before I emotionally disconnected, but like you, a player would be picked and then like you'll watch their tape and maybe you don't see it, but then you try to talk yourself into them being good. Like,
exactly.
I've learned like when I watch them, if I don't see it, I don't see it. And I, right. and I think a lot of that comes from the emotional disconnection. Cause I remember when they drafted Marcus Davenport and I watched him initially and there were some splashes, but like overall I was like, they give up a future first for him? Like,
exactly.
This dude? And like I kept watching, and then me and you were talking, and it was like, yeah, but he kind of has some traits of like Jadeveon Clowney. And I was like, yeah, I could kind of see. And then I like talked myself into it, right?
Right.
I don't do that anymore, bro. Like I watch and I'm like, either I see it or I don't. And I hope I'm wrong in this. And I know people who've been following my tweets or whatever think I'm coming across as a negative Nancy. I do not wish that these players are bad, right? These are my opinions. I may very well be wrong. Me as just being Joe Blow, I've gotten some things in the draft right, like right on the money. I've gotten some things drastically wrong. I'm just like an NFL team, right? Like
hello. multi-billion dollar organizations.
Like people come to me like, are you a GM? But like I know some GMs that fuck up shit too. Like, what are we doing here?
Like, what resume do you have to evaluate players? Not much. But you know what? The hit rate is about the same.
About the same, bro. It's 50-50. It's 50-50. You either right or you're wrong. I watched this class and I said in my head, and I don't know if I tweeted it, but I know I texted it to you. And I texted it to Max. Shout out to Dart Saint. I think I texted it to our homeboy Joey. I said, this might be the worst draft class Sean Payton's ever had. Like, that's just me watching what I've seen on YouTube. And that's all we could do, right? I don't have all 22 of these players breaking them down. But when I watch, I felt very meh across the board. Just, I don't know.
I believe it or not, I actually like this draft more than last year's. I think last year's might be the worst.
Yeah, bro. Last.
And that's not me saying like this was going to be like crazy good out the water. I'm just saying that's how bad last year's was.
You know what's funny is though, I felt very meh after last year's draft too. Like,
yeah.
Like I was like, okay, we drafted the 0-1.
It was like first. You know. Arms up emoji, like, eh, okay, we'll see.
And so, typically, it's shown that what we felt after the drafts have been right, right? Like,
right.
That said, let's talk about the first round pick that caught us by surprise. There was a run on corners, and if you listen to Sean Payton's his presser. Here's the thing that I guess I find kind of annoying is that, and shout out to my girlfriend, J-Ron. It is insane that every player except for Ian Book, because there isn't a large sample size in terms of athletic attributes, and plus quarterback is a completely different position that you can't analyze athletic data and match it up with other quarterbacks. It's not how it works. Uh-huh. So every other player other than Ian Book was exactly the Saints prototype since 2006, mm-hmm. bro. Every single one.
Yeah, makes
was
sense.
Was on her list, which is insane. So we can start with Peyton Turner, but what I was just saying is that obviously the Saints have a type in the type of defenses as they want. They want big, like, hustle, like 6'5", yeah. Just power, yeah. Imposing defensive ends. I think one of the same guys on Saints Twitter said that it would be lazy to compare Peyton Turner to Marcus Davenport. Like, if you go back and watch Marcus Davenport from University of Texas, San Antonio, and put him right next to Peyton Turner at Houston, they play almost like the exact same player.
Very similar. Very similar. And I've seen that a lot, you know, like Nick Underhill, Kevin Washington, everybody like, oh, you know, just comparing him to two firsts is, you know, DeMarcus Davenport is lazy. I'm like, yeah, it's probably lazy, but the shit true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
my eyes don't deceive me, bro. Like, I'm not dumb.
And it's like, it's not saying that he's going to be follow the exact career path of Marcus Davenport. They are the same exact player with the same exact traits down the line. But when you look at him and you try to project him as what kind of player he's going to be, and you look at what Marcus Davenport was as a prospect, not what he is now, but as a prospect, and you project him what kind of player he's going to be, it's about the same. Like, you project him as, like, not some 21-sack speed rush, you know, Dwight Freeney type, you know what I'm saying? But he's like a more long, win with power, bull rush, hand usage, good against the run, good against the pass. Like, if he works out to be the best he could be, that's what he's going to be. He's just going to be like one of those big, just solid, you know, right DNs or left DNs that just, you know, that's just, you know, solid. And that's what Marcus Davenport projected as. It's the same thing. Like, and that's, if you see their traits, it's the same traits. It's the long arms. It's the powerful hands, powerful arms. It's the, you know, not super fast get off, but enough agility to, you know, to shock tackles and stuff like that. It's also the same negatives to where, you know, they kind of rush without a plan at times and kind of lose focus or kind of just disappears into the wilderness of going against, you know, Timbuktu tackles it's never heard of. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you hit on it though. Like, that's the, like, I'm sorry. Like, when I watch edge rushers, I want to see that boom, that get off. Right. Like, That ball snap, boom. And with Marcus Davenport, when he was at University of Texas, San Antonio, and with Peyton Turner, when you watch them initially, you don't see that. Because, like, they don't have that quick first step. As opposed to, and I'm not, again, obviously he was taken early in the draft, you go put on some Jalen Phillips.
It was like, look, I mean, we text each other like soon as we put on.
Soon as we watch the film, Ryan,
it was like, whoop, whoa, you know. But whereas with somebody like Peyton Turner, it's like you got to keep watching. You keep like, oh, he did good on that snap right there. Then you watch him. Oh, okay, that was a good snap right there. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're kind of waiting to see it. You see the potential there, but again, if we're going back to Marcus Davenport, I retweeted my analysis on Marcus Davenport's prospect tape.
Oh, did you really? I didn't even see that.
I didn't retweet it. I'm probably going to retweet it later. But, like, if you go ahead through and read that, it's exactly what he's been. Like, it includes all the high upside stuff, potential stuff that he does well, and all the negatives. And the projection. And it's just like, it's a projection. It's all
you know what's funny? Do you remember who the first person who came on our pod that kind of was like down on Marcus? It was Baldy, bro. Like, when Baldy came on this pod, he was like,
he got to learn how to beat some tackles. He got to beat some NFL tackles, man.
Come on, man. And then I'm watching this Peyton Turner film, and he getting beat by, he getting abused by Tulane tackles? The second half of the Tulane game was good, but that BYU offensive line, like, I watched that game. I'm just
saying. It's like, you don't win every snap, but it's like, okay, man, like, you got to look at the level of competition. If you're this kind of freak, shouldn't you just be dominating? Like, why is he on the same field as these guys? It should be like, oof.
Like, he was, you know, he like, was. Okay, so let me try to rein back the negative, because I know people are going to be in our midst. So what can he bring to the defense? We lost Trigger Trey. You know, they did pick up two first, fifth year option that we talked about in the live stream. We really hadn't had a chance to talk about it, you know, on the pod. But in the live stream, basically, like, you tweeted, and, like, I echoed what you said. It's a sunken cost fallacy, bro. Like,
yeah.
They invested so much in Marcus Davenport. Like, they just don't want to be wrong. So they're like, oh, we'll pick up the fifth year. You know, this is going to be a contract year for him. He's going to motivate him. Okay, cool. Yeah. Whatever. But what does Peyton Turner, from what you've seen, bring to the Saints defense as it currently stands?
Look, I mean, one thing I've seen watching him, I think he is – I don't think he's as raw as Marcus Davenport was coming out. I think if you watch him and you pay attention closely, he does study – well, I wouldn't say study, but he does pay attention to how the tackles attack him when he's trying to attack them. And he changes up as the game goes along. Obviously, he has much room to grow as far as like hand usage and, you know, being a tactician and stuff like that. But I think he does have some mental traits as a football player that I think will help him. So I do think he's somebody that really could contribute early, like really like probably week one, if not, I'm not saying be a starter, but at least come in on some of the third down snaps and give us some pass rush, you know what I'm saying? Be some fresh, you know, if we're up, say we up 20, you know, up 15 points, up 17 points in the third quarter, they can come in and get some snaps and use that athleticism and, you know, the fresh legs, young legs, and get after a guy. He should definitely be in a rotation. And look, like I said, I don't think he will ever be like a 20-sack dude or 18-sack dude. But he has a lot of the traits that Cam Jordan had when he was coming out. He was a big
–
he's smaller now than he was when he was playing. He was a big player when he first started out. He lost some weight. But apparently he played at about 280, you know, and he's bound to like 270 now, I believe. So, you know, we'll see where, you know, where they manage his weight and how he wants to play. He does play inside some, and he's pretty good at it. Like, his – arm reach, like when he puts the arms up, he shocks people when he wants to. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has that arm length and that strength, but it's really all about like just developing him. Like Ryan Nielsen, he's assistant head coach now. Like, you making money now, bro? Like that position came with a raise, so you got to coach up these dudes, man. You got to coach him up and like turn him into something. And we'll see. Like, I don't know how. Like Marcus, I can't analyze these dudes' personalities. We joke about Marcus Davenport like playing anime and chilling and shit. I don't know if he's really like that. That's just my how I view him.
If you ever see, like, especially when like earlier in his career, like following him on Twitter, he 100% is into anime, bro. Like without a doubt, like you could tell by some of his tweets. It's not even.
then my dude Ryan Berger, he posted a picture of Peyton Turner doing some kind of yoga or some shit or some, I don't know, man. Like, nothing wrong with yoga, but I'm just like, come on, man. Just give me like a monster. Give me some ignorant pass rusher that just want to, I don't know, just destroy quarterbacks. Like, you know what I'm saying? This dude nice. He's such a swell guy. You know,
it's so funny. If they wanted to go defensive, you know, edge so bad. Like, I just wish they would have just traded up and got, you know, just go up and go get Jalen, man. Just go get him.
You know what? I'll just be like, oh, well, you know, at least I'll, you know, at least he's a good player. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe we gave up too much. Oh, well, you got a good player, you know?
Here's the thing, too. We know Marcus is probably going to miss some games. Let's just be real. But I think it's a little concerning that in a 8-game season, like Peyton Turner only played like 4 games. Like,
oh man,
don't bro. Like, but and this is the thing that people need to realize. Like, this is not what Ryan and I bring you is completely objective, bro. Like, we're not going to give you the team spin. We're not worrying about if we say the wrong thing. Like, someone's not going to give us sources. This is just real shit. And if I think this, like this past weekend, it was like, and I've stopped viewing the Saints with rose colored glasses in a long time, but I think this past weekend was the first weekend. Like, I just let the fucking chopper sing. Like,
yeah,
this is just, and And then I tweeted this. This was a very defensive heavy draft. I know they took players, but those players were taken later. And I tweeted, I said, the first three picks were on defense. This defense needs to be elite, bruh. Like, yeah. It needs to be close to elite as possible. Because these are a lot of draft capital resources being put into the defensive side of the ball. And it gotta be good. Like you can't be just average. It needs to be good. And I think that's where my concern is that this league is an offensive driven league, man. Like teams win on offense, and we'll get into that point later. Let's go on and talk about our round two pick. Our good old buddy Pete Warner, Ohio State linebacker, bro. I had tweets. I had two tweets leading up to the draft. I said, a white linebacker and Ohio State? Oh, that's a saint right there. Sure enough, Pete Warner is a fucking saint.
I remember when you tweeted that. You was like, OSU, white OSU linebacker? Duly noted.
Duly noted, nigga!
I remember you tweeted that. I was like, what are you talking about?
I know this team, Ryan. We know this team. They are who they are. Listen, man, first of all, and I tweeted, one of the first things I tweeted said, if you're drafting a linebacker in the second round, then are they just, because we say this on our podcast, teams will tell you what they think. That's what teams do. So to me, when I saw this pick, we'll get into him as a player, I said, well, what the hell are we doing with Zach Bond then? Was he just a wasted third round pick?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, okay, what Sean Payton said, like Sean Payton's like, yeah, you know, we expected big things from Zach Bond. I'm like, man, show me that you believe it. You can tell me that all you want.
You just drafted his replacement because, okay, you let Anzalone go. Quan got, you know, was cut. But it's interesting that Ian Rappaport had kind of tweeted that they Saints were potentially going to bring him back, but maybe then drafting Pete Warner, you know, changes that. I will say though, man, I've seen Quan in some workout videos. He looked fast. He looked faster than fucking Pete Warner. Help me, bro. Anyway, so that would tell you that the person that in line should be next to DeMario is Zach Bond. He was drafted in the third round last year. He's making the transition to off-ball linebacker. And this is the point I was trying to convey on Twitter. People, defenses, the days of defenses having 4-3 and there being three linebackers on the field all the time or most of the time, like those days are gone. Like those days are gone. At most, in a sub-package, a team on defense will have two linebackers on the field, sometimes just one, right? So if the team goes to one linebacker, obviously we know that's DeMario. If the team goes to two, then we're thinking it's DeMario and Zach Bond. But then they just drafted Pete Warner in the second round. Like, I was just like, where does Zach Bond play? Like, you can't, where does he play? I don't know.
Because theoretically, they said Zach Bond was a mic.
Yes.
I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think he played any snaps as Mike last year. Any?
No, I think they're all. I mean, I don't know.
He was on the field, but I don't think he was considered Mike.
No, he wasn't considered Mike. No.
And I mean, what you just think he's just gonna take over the Mike spot this year? Okay, like show me. I'm just saying, show me that shit. And then you have DeMario playing Will. Still, where does Pete Werner fit in? Like, what?
He was just drafted in the second round. You think he's riding the pond? Shit.
I don't know.
I think, and shout out to the homie Chris, hashtag White Wealth, who says that it wouldn't surprise him at all if Zach Bond gets, like, cut and goes on to, like, another team that knows how to use him properly, and he just goes on to, like, flourish, bro.
Bro, I can see him going to, like, the Patriots.
The Patriots, the Steelers.
I could see him going to, like, I don't know. Like, It's just so frustrating. Like, it's like, what? Because it's like, it's frustrating when you see it coming. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, both me and you looked at Zach Bond, was like, ugh. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, ugh.
Like, even if they drafted him, we were like, okay, if they want to make him like a joker of the defense, move okay. him around, let him like fucking rush. Man,
a little poor man's like a
TJ or TJ Watt, like, yeah. you know, let him do what he did 90% of the time at Wisconsin. No, they drafted him and said, he's going to be an off-ball linebacker. Okay.
No, you're going to be Mike Vilma. I mean, John Vilma. Like, really?
What the? You need that shit? Anyway, sorry. That was my Zach Bond rant. That's the whole theme of last year's draft, bro. Let's draft a center and put him at guard. Let's draft an edge rusher and put him at off-ball linebacker. What? Like, what? Anyway, let's talk about Pete Warner, Ohio State.
I ain't got nothing to say, bro. I'm telling you, in 2 to 3 years, he won't be on the team.
Pete Warner?
Pete Warner won't be on the team. I promise you that. Y'all can record it and at me if I'm wrong, whatever. I don't care. That dude will not be on the team in 2 or 3 years. He's not good.
He's not good.
He is at best, a special teams contributor and a, you know, like a backup wheel linebacker that come in.
Craig. Like, he's like Craig, bro.
He's Craig Robinson or Nate Stupar. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that level. Like, it was a terrible pick. Terrible. And I put my name on it. Like, it was an awful pick, bro. Awful.
One of the funniest things I did the night he was drafted is if you go to YouTube, you type in Pete Warner, and there's a video that the Big Ten Network put out of top 36 Pete Warner plays, bro.
Bro, I watched that video. I was just chuckling down, bro. I'm like,
you watch that video. You watch all 36 plays. You will see one good play out of 36.
The rest are like base minimal linebacker plays. Like, this is what we expect you to do. Just like, you know, like wide receiver makes a catch and you tackle him, you know, 6 yards down the field. Like, that's okay.
And like they said after he was drafted, they said, like, you know, he hasn't gotten beat, you know, for more than 10 yards down the field, but like they completely didn't talk about like the national championship game when.
Oh man.
Was that him? Was that was him who was trying to chase down Devontae?
I just realized that was him. Oh man, get the fuck out of here, bro. Saints gotta get the fuck out of here. They really need to like subcontract their linebacker scouting. Like, just, I don't know, like I don't know, go on Twitter, like go to Scott Wright or fucking, I don't know, anybody. Just do what they say. Don't follow your own scouts anymore, linebackers. Okay. They just don't do it anymore.
Like, here's the thing that's crazy. The Browns took Jeremiah Oates, whatever. I'm just calling him Notre Dame linebacker 6 because he's not a Saint. Like, a couple of picks before they drafted Pete Warner. Like, it is going to be very, very clear, like, that the Saints made a mistake. It may be clear that the Saints made a mistake in drafting Jeremiah, like, not drafting him at 28, honestly. Like, that very well could be the case. But I think, I don't know, I feel like they feel like they got a running mate in DeMario Davis and Pete Warner, and I'm just like, this guy is going to be asked to probably go against NFL tight ends in coverage, cover linebackers out of the flat. And I'm sorry, that 4.4 speed that he tested at his pro day, that does not show up on film. It does not show up on film.
There's no way that's true. Hey, you know what was funny about this draft? Everybody kept saying, like, no, I had no idea the Saints were trying to draft me. It's like, what the Saints are doing? Like, did y'all even talk to anybody? Were they going completely off pro day numbers? I hope not.
I think it's funny because everyone keeps mentioning, like, Sean learned his lesson, right, to a degree. Like, this nigga took him and Pete Carmichael went out to Lubbock and worked out Pat Mahomes, and Sean Payton got, like, a picture taken in front of, like, the Texas Tech emblem that goes on fucking social media. And then Andy Reid's like, oh, shit, not today. And since then, like, the whole entire draft operation is just shut down from everybody.
I'm sorry. That's bullshit, bro. Like, you can't tell me Sean Payton wanted Peyton Turner.
Mm.
You can't tell me that. You go and watch that presser that posts after they drafted Peyton Turner. Go watch Sean Payton. That dude, he barely knew who Peyton Turner was, bro. Mm. Like, he was talking. I know when Sean Payton just talking out his ass. He was just talking. Like, he was just saying shit. He barely could say the man's name. Like, he just was talking, bro.
You know,
they wanted somebody else. They wanted to move up with somebody. After that, they went through to their analytic board and went whatever their prototype was and who made the grade. They took who that was, but Sean Payton didn't know who the fuck Peyton Turner was, man.
You know, it's interesting because, like, if you go back to after they drafted Brandon Cooks in the first round,
he could tell you what game he played 3 years ago versus what corner. He knew everything about Brandon Cooks.
Loved him some Brandon Cooks.
Loved him some Brandon Cooks.
Fell in love at the combine. So we talked about this draft being, you know, no combine. There's pro days, but, like, there wasn't those, teams couldn't come, private workouts. Right. I don't know how this draft is going to end up, but I'm to the level, like, these dudes could have traded up for Jalen Phillips. These dudes could have traded up for Caleb Furley. I would have taken the back injury. Right? Give me the back injury over this.
Shit, give me Najee Harris. Shit, I'd be like, cool. You know what I'm saying? At least I
know Najee good. Like, I know his role. Like, I know people are going to be listening to this and they're like, oh, these guys really fucking hate the Saints draft. Yes.
Yes.
We do. I think it's just gross, bro. It's gross. And I literally tweeted, I said, they got rid of Anzalone and drafted a worse version of Anzalone in the second round. And people were trying to throw out, like, well, they're trying to post, like, RAS scores to me of, like, Anzalone's RAS score and Pete Warner's RAS score. Listen, Anzalone, especially towards the his career as a Saint, regressed, but Anzalone was athletic as fuck. Like, he made plays on, I still remember that preseason game. I think it was against the Texans, or I don't remember what team it was. He made an interception that it was like he was a free safety, and he got both feet down. He caught it. Pete Warner is not making that fucking play. There's no way.
No.
There's no way. You know what play I'm talking about, too.
I know exactly what play you're talking about. And I'm telling you, I didn't watch a ton of Anzalone when he came out, but I remember I had to, because he barely played in college. I had to go, like, look at some other dude's
tape. I remember.
And watch and just look for Anzalone, you know what I'm saying? But at least then,
you can see it. Even when
Anzalone was like, he was like, okay, at least we got a linebacker that's athletic. Like, you can say that much. Like, you know what I'm saying? Back then, he was like, okay, he's an athlete. We'll see how it goes. I can't even say that about Pete. Like,
that's what I said, bro. We got two Pete's that we go. The two Pete's.
That's why I tweeted hashtag new Shanley, bro. It's just the new Scott Shanley.
I think someone said, someone tweeted about if he could just be AJ Klein. Like, that's fine.
I said that. I'm like, at best, he'd be an AJ Klein. Like, just smart, in the right place most of the time. Because even AJ Klein, he used to mess up some time. But, you know, it's another note. But just be AJ Klein. But AJ Klein was undrafted. After undrafted free agent. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this man was taking 16th overall in the draft. 60! All right.
That blew me. That was a Stanley Jean-Baptiste type.
Ooh, I think you're right, man. I think you're right. Like,
that was bad.
He'll get playing time based on just need and DeMario needing a running mate. And we'll see, man. Like, he might start playing. He start blowing shit up. he started blitzing. We're like, oh shit, all right, Pete, go ahead. But while I watched, I think, four of his games, not including the national championship, I refuse to put that on. If I put that on, I'll go on a fucking tweet storm after that bitch. Because to me, it's like, they play Alabama. Alabama has NFL talent all over the field. So you see, you see what he's going to be matched up against.
And if,
if he can't keep up with that, just saying, might not end that well. But let's get to one of our favorite picks of the draft. Paulson Adebo from Stanford, drafted in the third round. I think they traded up and drafted him in the third round to ensure that they got him. The first pick that I was like, okay, like I see it, I get it. He didn't play last season, he opted out. So you had to go back to 2019 to see him play. What are your thoughts on Paulson Adebo?
I like him a lot, man. I think he fits the profile of what Dennis Allen wants in a cornerback. Also, I think he fits the profile of what Chris Richard has coached in the past and been successful at. He's long, has good speed. You can see his recoverability. He's played a lot of man and a lot of zone. Excuse me. Has good ball skills, good ball tracking skills when it's in the air. He's a pretty good tackler. If you watch him in zone and the way he just diagnoses, tries to keep his eyes on the quarterback, works well sometimes. Sometimes that catches him in some bad spots. I think he's just looking like an all-around solid cornerback prospect and had a lot of the traits that I kind of like when I study cornerbacks. I do think, you know, he does have some work to do, especially in Dennis Allen's scheme where they switch it up a lot. I think he has some work to do in man coverage. And it's not that he's bad man coverage, but in man coverage, your eyes are gold. So you have to be smart with where your eyes are looking because he could take his eyes off the wide receiver at times and lose them and get beat. But from what I saw, I never saw him really get beat physically. His beat was just, you know, maybe you focus on the quarterback too long or take your eyes off the ball, you take your eyes off the wide receiver. I tweeted that, you know, I got some PJ vibes and people kind of took that wrong because everybody just thinks PJ garbage. And, you know, PJ is a middle-aged player, but I just meant that as like, he's the guy that is probably best early with his eyes, with the ball in front of him.
Yeah.
Whether that's playing zone or it's some type of cover three, cover four look. That's his skill right now. And I think he's much better than PJ as far as like playing on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, much, much better than PJ. And I think he has better ball skills, too.
I do, too. I made the comparison that I see some CD Deuce traces of him if CD Deuce played at outside corner. Like both CD Deuce and Adebo, like they are like physical. Like and they're something that jumps off on tape with Adebo's speed is his short area speed from like 10 to 15 yards.
Woo! Oh, man. It's explosive. Like, he is going to be awesome, like on screens and
bubble
screens and shit like that. He's going to blow that shit up.
Blow him up. He has good coverage. Like, it's a good pick. And, you know, obviously, he sat out last year, doesn't have like a lot of wear and tear on him. And he has good ball skills.
Yeah.
He has good ball skills, good, you know, come up with some damn good interceptions. He's physical in the run game. He can David Shaw. I'm pretty sure David Scott. I don't know if David Shaw's a defensive dude. Will send him off the edge on some cornerback blitzes. He's going to fit into the secondary very, very nicely. Very nicely. I think that, like, if you want, like, I don't know what the Saints are going to do. If they're going to bring in Richard Sherman, if they're going to bring in TJ Carey. I don't know if they're – I think it would behoove them to still bring in a vet presence. But if for whatever reason, if that doesn't happen, one of the training camp battles is going to be Paulson Adebo and P-Rock if there's no veteran corner brought in, bro. Like, that's the battle. Now, let's say it's week one and the Saints get picked to face the fucking Tampa Bay Thursday night opening game, right? And Paulson Adebo won the training camp battle. Do I want Paulson Adebo against Chris Godwin lob the game? No, bro. But like, this is the NFL. Like, this is the NFC South. Like, he gonna get baptized sooner or later.
Like, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
So that's why I say, like, I feel more comfortable if they brought in a vet corner, you know, Richard Sherman and TJ Carey. Because if not, if they start, like, if Paulson Adebo wins that battle in training camp, like, he's going to be thrown into the fire. And that's where teams are going to throw. They're going to, like, that's a rookie corner, third round pick. That's where they're going to go.
And I can't make much about him on film or know enough about him to really see how his confidence is. Because that's really important.
One thing that does come across is he's a dog.
Yeah, exactly. I see, like you said, I see more CJ in him than I did. I remember watching PJ Williams tape before he was even drafted, because I was studying him and his teammate. Was it Arby? Who was his teammate?
Was it LaMarcus Joyner? Was that the same guy?
No. Could be the same class, but it wasn't the same team. Ronald. I keep saying Ronald Arby, but it's his different last name. Anyway, I remember studying him and feeling like, PJ Williams, he has that panic.
Yes.
When he's in man and he get beat off the snap, it's like, it's like I'm grabbing, I'm whatever. Like, I didn't see that with Debo. I see a dude, you know, sometimes he might make a jam, miss the jam, and get beat. But he's trying to recover. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's not panicking. And I saw a dude that didn't fall into a slump. I've seen him, like, miss plays early and then come back around and make plays.
Yeah.
You know, so that's important. That was Patrick Robinson's problem early in his career.
Oh, huge, man.
When you beat him early, he was done for the game.
Done.
He was going to cook him all game.
That Bryant game.
Beat him like a drum, you know what I'm saying? But he's grown to be better. So, you know, I think we'll be all right with PJ. I mean, with P-Rob, Debo, and, Adam Schefter did tweet out that Richard Sherman is still talking with teams, and he mentioned the Saints. So I think that would be like a nice just fit to come in. He knows Chris Richard. He could, you know, translate some of the verbiage and just some of the technical aspects of the game, like Richard Sherman knows real well. So, you know, hopefully I really do think they should. Like, they really need to do whatever cap maneuvers they need to do and just trying to make that happen. I ain't say pay him $10 million, but, you know, if you want $4-5 million, pay that shit and bring him in, because, you know, Richard Sherman – see what you want about it. That dude is smart as fuck.
Smart.
And he's been a good teammate as far as I know.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're Russell Wilson. But, yeah, really good teammate. And the thing is, Richard Sherman doesn't have an agent. Like, so when he signed with San Francisco, he negotiated his own contract. Yeah. That said, now that the draft is over – can we get a Ramchek extension? Can we get a Marcus Williams extension? Can we get something? Like,
something.
Like, what are we doing? But, like, I'm easily my favorite pick of the draft, and Paulson Adebo. I think he's gonna be all right, man. He's good. If you want to watch him, one of the better games to watch is 2019 Stanford played Oregon. And that was against Justin Herbert. And it's so funny, I was watching that game, And like I was watching some of those throws that Justin Herbert was making. Bro. Oh, the throws weren't exciting, but it was like accuracy was just like on the money. And I was like,
well, what is Justin Herbert? He was.
I was like, what about this? I guess like I think some of it's recency bias because like just if you just watch that game and when you watch Justin Herbert, you're like, but like it's the accuracy where he's putting that ball. It's like
he was putting that ball on the money,
bro. I was like. I was like, this all makes sense. this all makes sense. That's a great game if you want to go watch Paulson and Debo. Because I think you get like the full platter. Like it's a good game if you just want to go watch him. So let's round four, bro. Saints add to the quarterback room. Quarterback Ian Book, Notre Dame. Yeah.
I have absolutely nothing to add. I have not watched any end book whatsoever. I'm going to get around to it, but I just, I don't know. I'm like.
All right, so he's not going to listen to this, but as soon as Ian Book was drafted by us, shout out to our dude, Scott Wright, who is a diehard Notre Dame fan. Diehard Notre Dame fan. And he texted me basically, good luck with Ian Book. As a Notre Dame fan, I don't hate him, but I am very happy to see him leave.
And I'm sorry, bro.
So let me give you Scott's quick, very quick assessment of Ian Buck. I watched every snap of his career and never felt he was an NFL quarterback. Best case scenario is a Nick Mullins type of backup. Book has zero vision down the field, just misses wide open targets constantly. Said that if Chase Claypool would have been a top 20 pick instead of a second round pick, if it wasn't for Ian Book. That's our quarterback. Here's the thing, man. I will say that historically, drafting a quarterback later in the draft is usually a waste of a fucking pick. It just is, bro. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like,
you know, it's rare you get Tom Brady,
Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott,
Kirk Cousins in the fourth round.
Was Kirk Cousins a fourth round pick?
I believe so. Yeah,
I think you're right. Third, fourth.
He took RG3,
and then it was third and fourth. You know,
it's just rare. Like those things work out. It's very rare.
We say draft picks are 50-50. Drafting a quarterback later in the draft, that's,
oh my god, it's like 0.5% or something. Like it's very rare. You know, and at least at the most, you hope they show some traits that are translatable. Like I said, I hadn't watched him yet. I mean, does he have a cannon arm? Is he athletic or I don't know?
He is athletic. He can make plays off script.
Okay. All right. I mean, whatever. He going to come in and learn Sean Payton offense? Like, okay. I know he does. He does have a lot of starts, from what I understand. He's played a long time.
Yes.
I think they liked that. I think they felt like
that he was a winner. Like, he checked all the Bill Parcells.
Like, yeah, it's just. Played a lot of, had a lot of starts, threw a lot of balls, won a lot of games. You know, probably an awesome guy in the interview room. Probably a good competitor. Could turn out to be a good backup.
I will say that if he ends up being a decent backup, it's a good pick.
It's a good pick. Like that's what I'm saying. Like good number twos are good to have. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We've seen that, especially towards the end of Drew's career. Teddy and Taysom need to come in. Like, you got to have him, or else your whole season could go down the drain.
My only issue is, you know, the Saints, you know, as far as like their roster management, they tend to try to push those guys on the practice squad and they get snapped up, like Tommy Stevenson or whatever.
Tommy Stevenson, who else? Azigbo.
Yeah.
No, they cut Boston Scott.
Joyke Bell. Joyke Bell.
Yep.
I think Boston Scott was – no, they cut Boston Scott. Yeah. And he got picked up on the waivers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But you got to hit the waivers before you get on the practice squad. So it's like, I don't know. So it's just one of those picks, like, it would not shock me at all if he's on a waiver wire this year. Like, just a waste of a four-round pick. Just like, who was it, Nate Jamison? What was that, 2018 draft?
The Terrell
Jamison and all these guys. Like, I remember those names, bro. Like,
Rick Leonard in this bitch.
Big Rick Leonard, you know, all them dudes was out the door, bro. So that wouldn't shock me whatsoever, especially where this draft was, when nobody knew anything and no medicals and, you know, so many players decided to stay in school and shit like that. I think they were just digging at the bottom of the barrel, bro. Come fourth round, it was just like, man, whatever.
I mean, then round five, I'm not going to watch offensive linemen. I'm just not. They go Landon Young, Kentucky. I will say, though, I'm just going to say this. I've never watched a single snap of his. Would not shock me if he may start at guard this season. At either spot.
Man.
Okay. We talked about training camp battles.
Better look out for Landon Young, bro. And listen,
I know Sean Payton said he's gonna start off at right tackle, but unless Ram going down, like, was he just gonna back up Ram? So I know how this team is. I know where the holes are on this team. Cesar Ruiz better look out for Landon Young in training camp. That's all I'm gonna say.
Man, guard is one of those positions, kind of like running back, where you can kind of find them anywhere in the draft.
Yep, sure can, bro. Well, I mean, not anywhere. Apparently not in the first round, but.
But I'm just saying, like, sometimes they just show up. Like,
they just show up, bro.
Jahri Evans was, what, a fourth rounder? Carl Nix was.
Fifth rounder,
yeah. I mean, you just. Those guys pop up out of nowhere. Shit, we didn't have freaking undrafted Brian De La Puente and all kind of guys like this.
I'm just saying, bro, I've never watched a single snap of Landon Young at Kentucky. I'm not going to, but just circle that. If you're listening to this podcast, just Reese versus Young in training camp. It's a battle. I'm going to say it right. I'm not saying Reese ain't going to win because he's a first round pick. So he's going to get all the opportunity to win. But if Landon Young just come in and he just take that shit over,
man.
I'm just saying. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about it. Because they can't quit. They can't quit Pete. They won't quit him. Won't do it.
No.
Pete got something on somebody, bro. He got something on somebody. So that's just an interesting little storyline to look at. Let's finish it off. Round seven, they go Kwon Baker, wide receiver, Southern Alabama. This guy got juice.
Mm-hmm. And juiced up, man.
And offense desperately needs some juice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's not much tape on this dude. A couple of highlights out there, maybe one full game. But, you know, he looks like a guy that could succeed in the Sean Payton offense. I just looked at him like, I'm like, oh, this dude going to make the team, man. Like, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be on the starting 46 come week one, but he's going to be on the 53, bro. Like, this dude here is like, you know, he plays in the slot. He played in the slot like 80% of the time, like 80+%. You know, he shows some, you know, decent route running. Stupid, like, wreck, like, run after catch, just stupid, like, just be able to, you know, maneuvering in traffic and stuff like that. Dudes like that, man, they fit in this league, bro. So he's really thick, like, thick built, like, thick down yeah, bottom.
Kind of built like a running back a little bit.
Like a running back, yeah. So I think, you know, they could do something with him. He might, you know, like Ty Montgomery, even though they play different positions, you know, Ty Montgomery or somebody might lose this roster spot of somebody like him because he can come in and he can do all kind of shit. He might play in the backfield. He can catch, you know, play in the slot, do all kinds of little gadget shit. I could see Sean Payton trying to look for a plan for him early after you see him in, like, minicamp and stuff and just doing things against air, doing things against, like, a no defense, 7-on-7 and stuff like that. He's going to intrigue Sean Payton once Sean Payton gets an eye on him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Without question. But I think this, I mean, so they drafted a wide receiver in the 7th round, but point, and shout out to our dude Greg for giving me credit for the stat. Like, it's not, like, I didn't make the stat up. It's just facts. But I guess besides, you know, since 2015, the Saints have invested draft capital within the first two rounds of, in wide receiver twice. Michael Thomas in round two, Traquan in round three. The last wide receiver that they drafted in the first round was Brandon Cooks in 2014. That's 7 years ago.
Yeah, man.
That's seven years ago.
And the only drafted wide receivers on the team are Mike Thomas and Traquan Smith. Everybody else is undrafted.
say it again, Ryan. Say it again.
The only two wide receivers on the team that were drafted are Mike Thomas and Traquan Smith. Everyone else is undrafted. Everyone else. Think about that.
Besides Barker, who might bring some juice, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Including him, he was drafted like four spots before Mr. Irrelevant.
Right.
But hey, so it's Colston. So, I mean.
Yeah, you know, right. But my point is this, and I've been making this point on Twitter, and people are – what I believe is that Sean Payton feels that a lot of the offense's stagnation was the last couple of years has been due to Drew Brees' decline. So he couldn't really open the offense up. We all know that that's true. Like we're not in denial of that. Right. But what I think his hubris is getting him is that there are some times where even in playoff games, the game plan was, all right, we take Mike Thomas away, we take Alvin away, then who they got? Right? And we saw last year when Mike Thomas goes down. They had Emmanuel Sanders. He ain't there no more. So I think Sean Payton is so confident in his offense that can produce. One, that is so risky because, one, as much as he was in decline, Drew Brees and his accuracy, like, he still made the offense work. He wasn't able to get the ball down the field, but the offense still worked. Now you're going to say Jameis, who at times can have accuracy issues, he for sure didn't as a Buck, is going to make it work with Mike Thomas and Traquan. And Traquan was a good draft pick, but Traquan also has a very extensive injury history. Like Traquan just hasn't played a full season since he's been drafted.
No.
So it's a very, like, offensively, they got Mike Thomas, Traquan, Alvin, Latavius. Also got Latavius. I feel like I always forget Latavius. Latavius is a good running back. But then now they're banking on Adam Trautman taking steps, Deontay Harris taking steps, Marquez Callaway taking steps, and I guess Juwan Johnson taking steps. Like,
I'm just saying, you're asking a lot of James. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot. It's a lot. And counterpoint, you have a team like the Chiefs. You have a team like the Bucks. And in this year's draft, they got more weapons. Like, and those
even
teams.
Even the Browns, bro. Browns adding wide receivers. They're like.
I mean, Odell probably is there one more year. But yet, like across the board, like the Browns 100% have better skill positions than the Saints do. It's not close. Odell, Jarvis, Kareem Hunt, what's the really good running back? I'm forgetting his name. Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb, yep.
Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Higgins.
They drafted that sports kid who's like runs like a 4.2.
Wait, who they draft?
That sports kid out of Auburn.
Oh.
Like stupid fast.
I'm just saying, man, like you said, they're asking a lot of Jameis, and I think Sean Payton is trusting too much in his system. I'm not saying that Sean Payton's system is not good. It's great. It's proven. But I just don't know what the hesitation is of adding talent to to the offense in an offensive-driven league.
Like, let's make it great, you know? But sometimes I just think he's living in 2009, man. Let's get Jeremy Shockey in there, Devery Henderson, and, you know, Meacham and Colston, and we can make it work. You know, well, I'm like, man, listen.
I will say, though, to that point, Jeremy Shockey was a first-round pick. Devery Henderson was a second-round pick. Robert Meacham was a first-round pick.
All those dudes was athletes, bro. Like, Devery Henderson was fast. Robert Meacham, Robert Meacham could move, you know what I'm saying? Shockey could move when he was healthy. Shit.
Even if that's what he's the world he's living in, like he had the talent. Like they weren't complete players. Like they were specialized in their role, which was fine. But yeah. he had talent. You got a top five route receiver in Michael Thomas, and hopefully he comes back healthy. He starts dominating. You got Trayvon, who can't stay healthy, but when he is healthy, at times he looks decent. Other times he disappears. Like, that's just being real. And then you got Callaway and Deontay Harris and Alan Troutman. And I like them as players across the board. Like, they all show glimpses. But Deontay Harris had a neck issue that kept him out of the camp. Man, he could have won. He could have won that Tampa Bay game on his own if he didn't get hurt, bro.
I forgot how he just started that game. I remember I tweeted before that game, like, X factor of the playoffs is Deontay Harris. Like, he has to be that X factor. And he started that game like he saw my tweet.
Yep.
He was just like, I'm going to take this bitch over. You know? Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. But that's been him, like, especially on offense, because he's a small guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's no disrespect. He's just a small guy. And he going to get hit, you know? So, you know, I mean, I just don't know how much you could depend on him, especially on offense. Like, how much can you really depend on him? That's why I just was hoping they go and draft like a dude, somebody that can get downfield, man. Like,
it's so funny because you mentioned like how they were just kind of like this draft was on auto draft. I really think like they were banking that Dwayne Escher is gonna be there at 60, bro.
I really do, bro.
I think they were banking on it, and then he was taken at like 54 or something by the fucking Seahawks. Like, don't y'all already got Tyler Lockett? Y'all got DK? Like,
what? Oh, my God.
And then you got...
Knowing they need defense.
Knowing they need defense and an offensive line. They're like, nah, we gonna get...
Another speed wide receiver. God damn it, man.
I really feel...
I did it, but you know what? After that, I was like, well, we'll just take old Terrace, man. Bring old Terrace to Louisiana. Fucking Panthers is like, bloop. Never mind.
It is so funny because shout out to our dude Travis. He said that was a clapback for the whole Tommy Stevens shit. He He said they plotted that shit for a year, nigga. Like, oh, we got something for y'all ass. Yeah.
They came out like, bloop, got him. I saw that shit. I was like, oh, that's cool.
So I guess I'll ask you this question. And I don't think there's not a whole bunch out there the wide receiver market, bro. Because I looked after the draft. I was like, who's out there as a free agent? Shit, it's Bear. But if you could add either a vet corner or a vet wide receiver to this team, which position are you adding?
I'd probably still go corner, bro. Even though we need wide receiver, it's just, bro, there ain't nothing out there wide receiver, no. Bro. You got to trade for stuff.
The only player I saw when I went down that list, I was like, shit, can we get Kenny to come home? Kenny Steele?
Oh, Kenny still out there?
Yeah, Kenny out there, bro.
I bring Kenny home quick.
Drew ain't there no more. Like,
Drew ain't there no more. Drew ain't there. Come on. Like, I bring Kenny quick, bro.
I agree with you. I would go corner as well. I'll say this. You tweeted this to me earlier about what Tony Pauline said on the pod when he came on. I was like, man, this could be the end of the Saints. Like, it's looking kind of dire out there. I will say that if the Saints go into like this just malaise of just bad, right? Because we've had it good as shit, right? Like, let's be real. Like, we've had it good. But if they go to this malaise of bad, let's be honest of a lot of what has played into that. That's the 2018 draft. That's 2020 draft and potentially this year's draft. Like these three drafts, even 2019 was a good draft. They got Eric McCoy, they got CeeDee Deuce, they didn't even have a first rounder because they traded up for Marcus, but whatever. So if the team is not as, if the team goes bad, these potential three drafts, well, we for sure know 2018. Blah. 2000 last year's draft, still we gotta see, but not looking great. Like Adam Trautman showed me some shit, but like I need to see more. Like I love that he's the best blocking tight end in the league. Go run down the field, catch some fucking passes, bro. I need some juice. In this year's class, if it doesn't work out, if people wanna like, oh, where did the Saints go bad? Like, God, where? Those are the three things right there. To me.
And what's going to happen is they're going to be like, oh, it's the salary cap. The salary cap was trash.
Nope.
Blah, blah, blah.
Nope.
Nah, bro. Like,
it's not adding the talent. That's it. That's it.
Not supplementing the talent, man. Not supplementing the talent efficiently. And it always catches up. It's why we had those 79 seasons. You know, they just drafted like shit. So, I mean, we'll see, bro. You know, I mean, I don't know if you want to cover UDFAs.
Oh, I mean, we could talk, and yeah, we could talk about what one thing I did tweet. I said, "Man, I'm ready for Jeff Ireland to become a GM. Can Jeff go somewhere? tired of Jeff, bro. Go bruh, GM."
I just say it's cold out there, Ray. Like I don't know because who you gonna bring? They're gonna make. I don't even know who they're gonna turn into the GM. Like who's gonna have Sean Payton running the draft? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about UDAs. I know I watched some. I watched some of Trill Williams.
I haven't watched him.
Okay, he's very intriguing. Very intriguing. From Syracuse, play nickel, play safety, kind of that hybrid secondary type player. Kind of like a bigger CeeDee Deuce, but obviously not as fast, not as explosive. I think he could potentially find a way for him to get on the team. Like.
Could he at least be like a spell for Malcolm Jenkins, like eventually?
Yeah, potentially. I gotta watch more of them. There's not a whole bunch of them, but yeah, I could potentially see that. He kind of plays a little stiff, but he's very imposing because he's a bigger type of nickel type of player. I know you were tweeting about the defensive tackle from Washington that they got?
Oh, Josiah Bronson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, you know, just a big, you know, like big powerful guy, plays three tech, you know what I'm saying? And like they seem to get one of these dudes every year. You had Malcolm Brown, you had Shai Tuttle, and they kind of coach him up and they get him into the squad. Like, I don't know. He looks like one of the next one of those guys. Like, Ryan Nielsen going to get him in there and they're going to coach him up because he's athletic, he's big, strong, you know, stout, kind of low to the ground, nice arm length and all that shit. So he's somebody I could see probably, you know, flashing during the preseason and shit like that, and then, you know, making the squad. He was a guy I liked. I like who else did I watch? Did I watch Shaq Smith? No, I couldn't find any. I couldn't find very much tape on linebacker Shaq Smith, but he was at Clemson, and then he left and went to Maryland. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, but you know. He was a linebacker at Clemson. I guess you can say that much. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we'll see. There's a tight end, Dylan Suerner.
Yeah, he's like a blocking specialist.
Yeah, I mean, he played at Iowa. I don't know if that was because of Iowa, because pretty much like all they did was block and run the ball. But I watched some of him. He did catch some passes. There's something there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what he'll be. But, you know, you can see there's something there. But I didn't see, like, Jimmy Graham type athleticism that's hidden or something like that. He'll be more of, like, your standard tight end. But, yeah, you know, they signed a bunch of guys. We'll see. But, you know, Trill Williams, that's a guy to look at. Dylan Sorner and Shaq Smith. Stevie Scott, the running back, I watched a little bit of him. I could see some juice. I could see him kind of competing with Washington for the running back spot.
Dwayne.
Back up. Yeah, like just, you know, I could see that. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't see anything that popped out to me. But, yeah, so we'll see, bro. Like, these your 2021 Saints.
Bro, I will say, after this draft class, this season about to be shitty boo-boo.
At some point, they kind of deserve it, bro. They gotta take their bad medicine, man.
For sure. I get that. For sure. I understand some of that.
Like, they've never, like, Sean Payton's never had, like, a 5-win season. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm curious to see how the city will react to that. Like, a 4 or 5-win season under Sean Payton. Because 7-9 is kind of like, oh, we're just right there. We just got to win a couple of close games. But you win about 4 games only. It's like, ooh, let's go get hot.
And it's so funny because the thing is there's kind of like this debate on Twitter. Like, I got the fan, what do you want? Like, do you want the team to be competitive and competing for a wild card spot so you can maybe get in the playoffs and maybe, like, not advance or, you know, not advance after you get in the playoffs? Or do you just want to be bad? Just, I want top 5 bad. It's such an interesting, I guess most people say, like, I'm a fan. I want my team to win. And I get that. But Part of me understands where that logic comes from, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's hard to say, man. Like, you know, there's no guarantee you pick the top 3, you're going to get the quarterback you want. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, we don't even know what the quarterback class looks like next year. Ugh.
I mean, just look at the past, man. You can look at the past 15 years and look at the quarterbacks taking in, like, the top 5, and it's like, they ain't even on their teams no more. You know, like, the vast majority of them. It's just crazy, bro. Like, it's cold out there. Bro. I told people, you know, post Drew Brees, and just be happy what we had, bro.
Yeah,
we'll see where it goes, you know. But it's all interesting to me. I enjoy the whole process, but I'm glad I didn't dive too deep study like. 80, 90 players like I used to do, bro, because I'd have been pissed.
I think I probably looked at probably 25 to 30 dudes total, right?
That's good. That's good.
And even next year, not even doing that.
They're going to do you wrong, bro.
Bro, no! Wrong, right? Wrong! They couldn't even give me Bebe. They couldn't even give me mini DK. Like,
nobody, man.
Not a single person, bro. Yeah, I'm not gonna do the opening up the Christmas present and getting socks. That's not happening again, bro. This year's draft class is. I'm retired from the game. I'm hanging my hat up. Retired, bro. No.
The game ain't in you. None of it.
They don't whooped it out, your boy, bro. Pete Warner, fuck out of
here. Fuck that shit.
Mm-mm. But listen, if you think we're being harsh, this is what I want anyone to do, especially about the Pete Warner pick. Go watch those top 36 plays. Go watch them.
Top 36 Pete Warner. Go watch that shit.
If you come
on, watch best play. It's best plays at Ohio State. Go watch that.
If you come away back with anything less than that's his 36th best place, please block me back. Just block me back. Don't want to converse with you at all. I don't. That said, I don't even know. Like, is there a rookie minicamp? I don't even know what's even happening.
There should be. I mean, they're not holding out or nothing like that. So. We should get some news in the next 2 weeks.
So what's also going to be really interesting is that a lot of the players who opted out or a lot of the players who got cut or didn't get a chance to play last year because of how weird last season was, there's going to be a lot of tryouts of, like, college players who kind of maybe went through the cracks last year trying out for teams this year at rookie camp. That was a point that Tony Pauline had been making the last couple of weeks, that this upcoming rookie minicamp around the league going to be a lot of players, because there are a lot of players who kind of fell through the crack that either didn't get drafted or whatever, just because of how weird the season was last year due to COVID, or maybe they got drafted late, but they got cut because of COVID, whatever, right? A lot of interesting tryouts probably going to be happening in a week or two around the league.
Man, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see, yo.
We'll see. So we'll get some news soon. I was actually about to say, like, you know, it's gonna be. I don't even want to follow training camp this year, but like, we got a pot to do. Like, I gotta follow training camp, bro. I was just gonna tune it all out, but no. For our listeners, we're gonna follow training camp and do that, all that. And break it down with you guys. Also, so shout out to all our people who won during the live stream, the raffle. David Howes, I gotta figure out how to send your Tumblr overseas. Don't worry about it. Our dude Rod Fedrick, gonna send you your Tumblr when it's ready. But Jessica Clement, who won the Saints either T-shirt, Disney T-shirt, or Marvel shirt. I sent you an email to reach out to you because you are our raffle winner. I haven't heard back from you yet. So if you could DM Ryan or myself, answer the email back, whatever it may be, so we can set up getting you the T-shirt that you won. So shout out to all our winners. That the live stream was fun-ass time. Thoroughly enjoyed spending time with you guys. Talking about the draft and just experiencing it organically. Potentially next year we might do a little draft party in Vegas. Maybe Ryan probably won't show up even if we do, but probably won't. But you know, that's a year away. But anyway, football is coming in a way. There'll be the rookie minicamp next couple of weeks. Then OTAs is, what is OTAs? Oh, I don't know. It's soon enough. And then training camp and then football, we'd be here before we fucking know it. So that's the draft recap, and we'll be back with more content these next couple of weeks. Thanks to you for our listeners. With that, we're out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.